Amen. Hey, can we say thank you to all the team members that put that on, all the staff and all the amen, people from the church. Thank you for your donating your time, your money, your energy. That was amazing. Good morning. My name is Miles, pastor of the Rock Church, and we actually started Toys for Joy 4 years before the church, and so we're still doing it 27 years later, and now it's all over the county and in Hawaii, and it's just a blessing to go and meet people who are getting a lift that day. I got a video from a young man who served at this Toys for Joy, who in his video said that when he was a kid, that was his only Christmas. He didn't have a tree, he didn't have a place to live, he didn't have toys, and he said that he got look forward to coming to that, and now he's serving at it. And that's one of many stories. Let's give the Lord a hand. If I could ask all y'all to stand up, if you are a visitor, we are one church at many locations. You just saw all the locations, and we want to say hello to all the locations. God bless y'all. We're going to have a great day today. I'm excited. Christmas is 8 days away. Some of y'all are like, woo, some of y'all are like, oh, really? I thought it was Thanksgiving coming up. How many of y'all cannot believe it's 8 days away? It's all of y'all, right? It's like, man, 8 days going, and then, you know, being in California, where I'm from New York, so you know Christmas is coming because it's cold. Out here, it's like, you know, it's like 70 degrees outside. Oh, man. I'm excited for today. I want to say hello to everybody out there, and we're going to have a great day. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for just your patience. Thank you for your love for us. And we just want to pause right now and acknowledge your presence. Life is going by so fast. I remember as a kid, every Christmas, thinking 365 more days to the next one. And it's been a bunch since. So I just pray we can acknowledge you and tell you thank you for loving us, for caring for us, taking care of us, protecting us, getting us through the hard times that we have created for ourselves or that people have just imposed on us. But no matter what curveball life has thrown, you have been there to get us through. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So before you sit down, I want you to look to someone next to you, maybe someone you don't know, and say, Jesus was born to take away the sins of the world. Amen? Amen. If you have a Bible, you could turn to Luke chapter 2. And before I start, we have baptisms today. So if you want to get baptized, just jump in the water. You could deal with the wet clothes later. We'll help you out. This Friday and Saturday, we have our Christmas special. How many of you are going to come to the Christmas special? Amen. Bring a friend. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And then before we know it, Christmas is going to be here. And then New Year's. And every New Year's, people make resolutions. I don't know if all y'all do. I make new resolutions every day. What am I going to do, you know, next week? You know, but I'm really excited about next year. And we're going to have a series of year to change my life, change your life. The first part of the year, January, February, and so I want to prayerfully ask you to pray for next year being just. I don't want to say your best year ever. That's kind of cliche-ish. Just better than this year. You might have had a great year 5 years ago. Okay, well, just do better next year than this year. Do better today than yesterday. Just take a little step, and we're going to provide some paths and tools for you. But I just want to ask you to be praying about that, because before you know it, this is going to sound kind of morbid, before you know it, you're going to be facing your maker. It happens so quick, and I don't say this lightly. I remember being a kid, Christmas would come, and then you were depressed because you had to wait 365 more days for another Christmas. Anybody y'all remember that being a kid? And here you are 30, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old thinking, man, there were 70 of them bad boys that went by. And your life is going. And so we always want to remind ourselves to slow down and take inventory of who we are, what we're doing with our life, what we're doing with our body, our health, and and acknowledge that God has a plan for you. He wants to use you. He created you for a purpose. He created you in his image to live in a loving relationship with him. And so we want to continue to help you in that and not just go through the church, you know, routine, because this should not be routine. This gets us nowhere in the kingdom of God. This gets us somewhere. Amen? Amen, amen. This one, Luke, okay. In 1990, a young man named Junior Seau came to San Diego, the San Diego Chargers. Y'all remember Junior Seau? I'm sure y'all remember Junior Seau. Without question, one of the greatest Chargers ever to play. And for all y'all who don't know, the Los Angeles Chargers used to be here. They used to call them the San Diego Chargers. For all y'all who don't know that, they were here 50-something years. They don't belong in L.A., they belong here. Okay, yeah. Come on. So if anybody's got like $400 million, we can make something happen, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe it's billions now, I don't even know what it is. But anyway, Junior came here, played a bunch of years here, I think 11 years here. Forgive me if I get that wrong. And I got to know him and then his wife Gina before they got married, after they got married. They had four kids. He has four kids, they have three kids. And got to know the kids, and then he passed away in 2012. Did the funeral and was very involved in their life and got close with their kids. And I said, look, from now on, whatever you need, I'm going to be here for you when you get married. I'll do your wedding. And well, Friday, his son got married, and here's the picture of what happened. Amen. Come on now. I'm going to get choked up. That's his son, Jake, Carl, and his wife on the left, his mom, Gina, and my wife. I don't do a whole lot of weddings, but this was one that was, I got choked up. I was crying. It was just so emotional. But throughout the wedding, at the wedding, there were about 80 people, people from his job in Atlanta, people from his high school, from his college, from her family and job, etc. And every time you met somebody, you would say, so how do you know Jake? How do you know Carlin? Are you family? You know, all that stuff. And I would ask, you know, how do you know? And they say, well, I went to high school with him. I went to college with him. I work with him now in Atlanta. And then people would ask me how I know him. And I would say, you need to sit down. I got a story to tell you. And some of them didn't know his father because they weren't born, you know, they weren't. And so I had to explain to them, here's the deal. What do you say when people ask you, how do you know Jesus? Like, what are you going to say? It is so critical for you to have a very clear testimony and a conviction that you are always developing something to say. I want to talk high level about that. We started a series called How Can It Be? Everyone say, How Can It Be? We started this series 2 weeks ago, and we talked about Mary. When Mary found out she was pregnant, she was a virgin, and she got pregnant by God. That's a question I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven, how that worked out, how that happened. She got pregnant by God, and she says to the angel, how am I going to have a baby when I've never been with a man? How can it be? Literally, she said, how can it be? How can it be? And then Joseph, last week, we looked at Joseph, and Joseph said, listen, you got my girl pregnant, you got me moving around, you got people trying to kill my son. How can me following Jesus be so disruptive? We talked about that last week. But when you give your life to God, he is going to disrupt your life because he is not here to serve you. We are here to serve him. Can I get an amen? I'm going to say it again. He is not here to serve you. God is not your good luck charm. So if life is going, if you're doing something, let me take a little left turn here. If you're living your life your way and doing your thing and you're saying, God, help me, and God doesn't help you do what you want, that's because that's not what he's for. That's not what he's for. So if you maybe you had the wrong expectation, well, God didn't make this business deal go good. Maybe that wasn't the deal he wanted you to have. God didn't make this relationship. Maybe that's not the relationship he wanted you to have. And so it's really, we have to understand that we're here to serve him. And so Joseph has this girl, Mary, that he's betrothed, engaged to. They don't have any intimate relations, and she's pregnant. And rightfully so, Joseph was like, Lord, why? Why are you going to do that to me? Now I got to explain this. No one's going to believe me. This never happened before. And so how could following God be so disruptive? Because God has a bigger plan. His ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so his ways and thoughts are above your thoughts. Can I get amen? This is the good thing, that whatever you're thinking in your life on how to do your life, God's got a better way. He's got a better way. And so the comforting thing about that is that when you're stuck, go to God. When you think you got it going on, go to God. Every time, go to God, because there's always something more. There's a term called this wisdom in the crowd. If you ever have an idea, how many of you have ever had an idea before? Okay, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, kinda. Just take your elbow above your ear if you raise your hand. If you had ever had an idea, okay, very good, okay, very good. Thank you. If you ever had an idea, I guarantee you 100%, 1,000% of the time, guaranteed it is never fully baked when you get it. It's only a seed. If you have an idea right now, it's only a seed. Now, it gets a whole lot better when you get people to speak into it. Hey, what do you think about this? And you go, oh, I never thought about that. Ask another person, what do you think about this? I never thought about that. You start using it. I never thought about that. But that will always happen 100%. So if you think your idea is good, it's never complete. But it's not that it's a bad idea. It just can get better and better and better and better. But it gets really good when you say, God, speak into it. Now, by the way, most of the time it's his idea, but he can buff it out. And so God, we always have to have the safety net that God always knows best. So then you might be asking yourself, well, why would I ever do anything without God? You shouldn't. That's the point. Kind of came on the back door on that one. So here's the story today. The shepherds. The shepherds are out in the field. They're taking care of the flock. An angel comes and says, hey, you're going to go. The Messiah was born. We're going to read it here in a minute. And he's going to be wrapped in a swaddling clothes in a manger. Go check it out. And they go, okay. And they go see it. And they see the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was a common thing for them to do. And they went and told everybody. And so the question is, how could it be that their story was so important? What you say, all of y'all, about God is so important. Now you can come to church and hear, oh, that's the pastor. He's supposed to say that. That's why sometimes, you know, if I meet people, I try not to tell them I'm a pastor, because then they put everything I say in a box. He's gonna preach a sermon at me. But if I could just say, hey, what's up? You know, meet people on the plane or whatever, and just come kind of be some casual brother and just start talking about God, it's a whole different thing. But when you talk about what you know about God, what he has done for you. How many of you know God's done amazing things for your life? Come on now, when have you told somebody that? Because all of y'all, guarantee, all of you have people in your life who need what you have. And they need to know what's relevant. They need to know what works. And they're looking at you wondering where you get your juice from. They need to know it's from Jesus. Okay, so let's start. We're going to start in Revelation, the end of the book, the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Let me read this to you. This is at the very end of the consummation of history into the new history, going into the new kingdom of God. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. By the way, Jesus is coming back. I don't know if it's related to the war in Israel. I have an inkling that that's all change in history. But at some point, could be tomorrow, could be 1,000 years from now, I don't know, Jesus is coming back. Okay, so that's going to happen. Okay, he came, he created, he's coming back, and he's going to rule the earth from earth. Heaven's not up there, it's right here. Oh, snap. Newsflash. Okay, he's going to change it out. So that's a whole nother series. But it says, salvation and the strength and the king of the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Watch this. For the accuser of our brethren, that's the devil. How many of you ever felt accused by somebody falsely, just, you know, she thinks she all that. It comes from the devil. It comes from the devil. He stands before God day and night accusing you before God. Lord, they're in church, but you know, they were just getting high last night. They just came over the border, been drinking all night, and TJ just barely got arrested and came to church this morning. You ain't getting fooled by that, are you? And you know what God's saying? Nah, I'm not fooled by it because I was there. But I got him through because I got a plan. Come on now. So look what it says. The accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. The devil has been cast down. And then look what it says. Look what it says. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus forgiving you of your sin, the word of their testimony, God has saved me. I believe in Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. That name is powerful. You could say God all day long. Oh, I trust God. Well, what's the God? Jesus is very specific. It's that the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. This knee and that knee. Every knee. This knee and that knee. And it says, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Three real quick things before we get into Luke and the shepherds of why your testimony is so important. One, it tells the devil you ain't dead. The devil's been accusing you, beating you down, trying to discourage you. Even before you open your eyes in the morning, what do you hear in your head? I'm not saying this is all of you, but I know I experience it all the time. Before you even open your eyes, don't even get out of bed. It's gonna be a horrible day. You're a failure. Oh, you got all this drama to deal with today. And you're like, how many of y'all ever had that? And that's the accuser. That's the accuser. And then you walk in, and you ever walk in a room and you feel like people just, I can't stand him, can't stand her. It's just like accusations all up in your back, right? Knives all up in your back. That's the accuser, that's a spirit. You have to, when you tell your testimony and you say, Jesus forgave me of my sin. I'm not perfect, Jesus forgave me of my sin. The devil goes, dang it. When you come back and you say, get up in the morning, you say, I'm gonna read my Bible today, even though I'm discouraged. The devil goes, dang it. We have a class where I'm developing this class to how to show your faith. And in the class, I said, look, people are gonna reject you. Just keep going. So this one kid, Henny, if you're watching, I'm talking about you. He had shared his faith. It was a great story. He shared his faith with somebody. They didn't receive it. So I said, Henny, how many toes you have? He said, I got all my toes. I said, so you didn't lose any toes when they rejected you, right? He said, no. I said, how many fingers you got? He said, I got all my fingers. I said, you didn't lose your fingers when they rejected you, right? I said, you're still alive, you're still breathing, you still see. I said, the world didn't crash. So what you told the devil was, you're not gonna discourage me. You're not gonna discourage me. So when you talk about Jesus, even if you said, hey, you know what? God loves me. Yeah, but you're not perfect. I know, but God loves me. You're telling the devil, I'm not defeated. Can I get an amen? It's like Terminator, when Terminator, y'all remember the Terminator movies? The Terminator, you would bam, they would shoot him, bam, 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 and he'd be all like this, and then after a while, he'd be like, and he's back. That was a scary brother right there. No matter what you did to Terminator, he would just come on, well, not the Terminator, but the other guy, you know, the guy I'm talking about, he would come back. It's like, no matter what the devil does, you gotta come back. This is why football is the greatest sport in the world. Let me explain. How many of y'all, do I need to explain that to anybody, right, by the way? Anyway, come on now. For all y'all who don't believe it, here's why. A guy my size, not 200, but a guy 200 pounds, about my size, can get hit by two guys, 300 pounds each. That's 600 pounds on 200 pounds. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. It's like a car accident. It's like a car accident. So this guy's running the ball and he gets hit, bam, 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 bam. He gets up and he goes, that's all you got? And if you watch closely, they're jawing at each other. That's what they're saying. You ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing. I'm coming back. And they go back in the huddle and say, give me the ball again. Basketball players get touched like that, they want two free shots. Oh, soccer? Don't even touch anybody. They just woof. You just run by them and they're like, oh! When you say, I believe in Jesus despite the pain in my life, the devil goes, I didn't get him yet. The other reason your testimony is so important, it reveals to other people what God is doing in your life. I was at a prison. I was speaking at a prison. And right before I went out, the inmates, it was at Donovan State Prison right here in San Diego, and they had their jumpsuits on, and this love of God came over me. I started crying, and God communicated to me, I want you to tell them that I love them. And I said, yeah, God, it's in my notes. I got, you know, somewhere in my sermon, I'm going to get to it. I got this scripture, then I got a story. He's like, no. He says, before you get into your thing, it's true, real conversation. I'm kind of embellishing some of the words, but this is what happened. He said, before you get into that, I want you to get up there. First thing I want you to say is I want you to tell him I love him. And I'm crying of the presence of God emotion. And I did. I said, look, here's what I've been through, but I want you to tell you that God loves you. And he does. By the way, the same amount he loves y'all. Okay? He wants. And so when you share your testimony, and share what God is doing in your life, you're helping people like you see that God loves people like you. And so it's relevant. It's not just for the pastor. When I was in Catholic school, we had the priests and the nuns. And the Catholic school, let me tell you something, I owe a debt to my Catholic 8 years of that school. It taught me the fear of God. For real. In a good way. I don't want to get too much into it, but it taught me the fear of God. But the priest and the nuns, they had the robes on. I said, I'm not going to be a priest and a nun. So I didn't at that time, as a kid, make that a bigger connection. People need to see you talking about God. You. And then lastly, it demonstrates to God that you know your blessings come from him. Because someone says, hey, man, you seem like a smart dude. Like you hooked that thing up really smart. That's pretty good. And you go, yeah, I am kind of smart. And God's like, oh, really? Really? Man, how'd you get that girl? Well, you know, I just got my, you know, I learned growing up. I got a smooth rap. You know, I know how to, you know, say what's up. Yeah. Oh, really? You think you got that woman? But when you say, listen, I'm giving God the credit and glory for everything in my life. That's it. And the more you do that, the more God will entrust you with, and the more he will enable you to enjoy what you have. So, let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That's your intro. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. Everyone say afraid. Sometimes when God speaks to you, you get afraid because he's going to tell you something that's great and mighty. He will challenge you. Quit your job. I don't have another job. Trust me. I did that. So start this church. He's going to leave that and just work. We'll work it out later. I'm like, cool. I'm a risk taker, so it was easier for me. But he'll challenge you. That person's no good. Whatever it is. And then it says, behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, that babe is not like a chick. It's a baby. That didn't land that well right there. Just kind of. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Number one, get in a habit of sharing with people what God has told you. Get in a habit of sharing with people what God has told you. Now, it doesn't mean you every day, God told me this, but God will tell you he loves you. God will tell you he wants to bless you. He wants to use you. Matter of fact, God doesn't use anybody that he doesn't speak to. He speaks to all of you. And whenever you hear a whisper in your heart, or it may be through something that you heard in a sermon, but whenever you hear a whisper in your heart, you think you're thinking something that's biblical, but it's a whisper about something biblical for you to do, for you to know, for you to receive, it's probably God speaking to you. You're not gonna hear, most likely, James Earl Jones speaking from the closet in your house. I remember the first time someone told me, you need to pray until you hear the voice of God. That's all I remember them telling me. And I was like, okay, I didn't know what that meant. So I remember kneeling in my closet and I was looking up at the corner of the room thinking I was gonna hear something. I was like, I'm just gonna wait and you're gonna say something to me. It never came. But what I hear all the time is, hey, why don't you put this training together? Hey, why don't you start a church? Hey, why don't you go over there and pray for that person? Hey, why don't you just walk that way in the mall? Just walk that way. That's it. And the more that you obey these little voices, as long as they're biblical. Now, if you hear a voice say, hey, why don't you go slap that girl upside the head? That's not God. It's not God. It has to be biblical. It has to be consistent with what the Bible says, but it also has to be consistent with God's call in your life. Because if God told me to go be a missionary and be an administrator, that would not be God. That wouldn't be God. That's not what he created me for. But as long as you keep sharing with somebody trusted in your life, at least, what did God say? God spoke to Adam and Eve. God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. He spoke to all of them. If he's going to use you, he's going to speak to you because he created you to live in a relationship with him. And how do we communicate with the relationship? We speak to each other. We communicate to each other. And it's not always a spoken word. It could be his eyes. I love horses, but I'm spooked because I had a bad experience. I don't have the time to get into the bad experience, but I had a bad experience. And I was talking to some people this weekend about horses. They have horses. I was like, man, I love to ride horses, but I had a bad experience and I'm scared of horses. And he says, when you get on those horses, they know that you are scared. Listen, I know my horses know that I'm scared because when I get on them, they're trying to get me off. I don't tell the horses I'm scared. As a matter of fact, I go up to the horse and say, you are so beautiful. I love you. We're going to have a great time, right? And they just, I'm right here in their jaw and their eyes go, arr. And I could tell they're going, you're scared of me, aren't you? But when you get on the horse, they can feel in your legs and your body, your nerves. They are so sensitive. There was a horse named Zenyatta who was a racehorse, and it was a female horse that had won 20 in a row, and she was going to have a last race in L.A., and the guy heard me talking about Zenyatta, and he said, hey, you want to come meet the horse? And I went up to L.A. to meet the horse. Literally, the head was this big, and I went up to the horse, and she was so beautiful. Her fur, her hair was so soft. She was so awesome, and her head went to right close enough for her hair to touch me, but not her flesh. I mean, they're so sensitive. So when I got on the horse, I didn't get on that horse, but when you get on horses, they can sense stuff. God communicates to you without even word. He just gives you an impression. I could look at my kids when they were little, and I would go, no words. God can do that to you in the spirit. Number two, share what God has revealed to you. When God speaks to you, he also reveals something in what he said. He told Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree. He's trying to keep them alive. Told Adam, Noah, build a boat, trying to keep them alive. It's going to be a flood. Don't worry about what anybody else says. When God tells you something, after you start to live in it, he's going to reveal something to you in it. And he told the shepherd, he says, listen, go, you're going to see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they went there and they realized this is the Savior of the world. That means that there is hope past our sin. There's forgiveness available to us. And they started telling everybody. Matter of fact, in the story, it doesn't even tell, the angels didn't tell the shepherds to go tell anybody. It just says, go check it out. And then once they saw it, him, they said, we realize this is not only true, but how significant it was. And they started telling people, here is the significance of this. We are going to be able to be forgiven of our sins. So it's one thing for you to come to church and hear, the pastor said this, the pastor said this. It's another thing for you to say, here's what it means to me. And then for you to share that with somebody else. And then lastly, share with people how God has transformed your life. Real simple. I was blind, now I see. This is not complicated. Everybody say, I was blind, now I see. In what way were you blind? You were ignorant, dumb, lazy, no direction, addicted, depressed, lonely. And now you have wisdom, clarity, peace, friends, support. Is it perfect? It won't be until you go to heaven. But you can share that with people. Why? Because all of us have people in our life who need all that. And they don't know how to get it. And by the way, they think they have to come into a building to get it. This is where we get encouraged. And yes, you can receive Christ in here 100%. But really, it's just through a relationship. So in a minute, we're going to pray and give you opportunity to receive this Savior that was born as your Savior. Because even though he's the Savior of the world, he's not your Savior until you ask him to be. Because he's not going to force himself on you. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the penalty is death in the grave and in eternity separated from God. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ was born, and then he died and rose from the dead 3 days later, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So I'm going to ask all y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes and just listen carefully. Jesus, thank you for being born. Thank you for sending the angels to tell the shepherds, spread the word. But now it's our turn to spread the word. So I pray this week we would tell somebody our story, that we would declare to the devil, I'm not defeated, I'm a victor. I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the king. But if you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner and that the penalty is death. I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. I want to be born all over again. I repent and commit to living for you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand up wherever you are, whatever campus you're at, if you watch it online, and by standing, you are acknowledging that you are resurrecting to a new life. It's like when Jesus rose from the dead, he stood up and walked out the tomb. You are going to stand up and walk away from your old life. So if you prayed that prayer, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And by standing, you're making a public declaration. I'm walking away from my old self. The old is gone and new has come. So as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. One, two, three, stand to your feet. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. 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 Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now I'm going to ask all of you who are standing to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. You can bring your family with you if you want, and we want to celebrate you, and everybody else can stay in your seats until they get down here. If they can all come on down, let's come on, bring them all down. Come on, church. Come on, church. Amen. God bless you. Just face me. Okay, you don't have to face everybody else. You're good. You're good. Hello. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Christmas week, y'all gave your life to God. Christmas week. Now, we're going to help you in your next step. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's not a religion. You didn't join the Rock Church, even though we want to help you. It's a relationship. For the rest of your life, wherever you go on the whole planet, God's going to be with you, and he wants to speak to you, use you, and his, build his kingdom, not yours, not mine, his. Amen. Today's Baptism Sunday. If you want to get baptized, we hook you up. We have baptisms every month. So that's going to happen this week. But first, the last thing I want to tell you is that there was this little ant, a little bug, that was in the desert, running around in the heat of the day, 120 degrees, looking for bugs that died from the heat so we could eat it. And they filmed this ant, and he would run an equivalent of 40 miles if it was a human, all around the sand like this, looking for a bug that died. And then when he got the bug that died, he would run straight back to its hole. And when they filmed this ant, they didn't understand how he would know where his hole was, because it was just a flat sand. There was no sign, and he ran around for 40 miles. And then they studied the video, and they saw that every time he changed direction, he would stop and look at the sun. Then he'd run over here, change direction, look at the sun. And he'd run over here, change direction, look at the sun. And then when he got the bug, he would like calculate using the sun like a compass all the angles that he ran, and he'd run right back to his hole. And what's that got to do with you? Nothing. It's a good story, though, ain't it? It's a good story. So we just want to send you on your way, and no. Your life is going to take you everywhere. You're going to be left, right, up and down. You got friends you got to deal with. You got all kind of stuff. God's going to try to clean out your life. He won't force it. He's going to try. But the quicker you let him change your life, the quicker your life is going to be better. But you got to keep your eyes fixed on the Son of God. And if you keep your eyes fixed on the Son of God, you'll be fine. Amen? Amen?